It's Tuesday, July 28th, 2026, and this is Pip Install, your daily download on power, security and the machines. The guns are still quiet over Iran, a second day of the pause holding. But here's the strange part. The two governments cannot agree on what the pause even is. Washington says it's diplomacy. Tehran says there's no diplomacy at all. One ceasefire, two completely different stories. Then, a former director of the FBI, charged over a photograph of seashells, asks a court to make it stop. And an artificial intelligence in a lab test broke into a real company's computers by finding a flaw no human had spotted. Let's install today's update. Start with the client and the two versions of it. Freya.
So the facts everyone agrees on are thin but real. For a third day, the United States has not launched new strikes on Iran, and Iran has, in turn, halted its own retaliatory attacks. The shooting has stopped. That much is true. Now the part nobody agrees on, which is why. President Trump says the US paused its bombing at the request of the Iranian regime, that Tehran, in effect, asked for mercy, and that talks are now underway, and he hopes for, his words, good things, and that if there's no deal, the bombs come back. His UN ambassador, Mike Waltz, framed it the same way, strength with a door held open.
As the president said, we are locked and loaded. Even more assets are going into theater, but he's giving talk some space.
Tehran tells a flatly opposite story. Iran's foreign ministry said, and I'm quoting, we have no negotiations with the United States at present. And more pointedly, Iran will never allow the United States to determine the timing of war and peace. Its only direct talks, it says, are with Oman about the Strait of Hormuz. Though here is the tell. Messages are moving. Mediators in Oman, Qatar, and Pakistan have been quietly relaying them between the two capitals for days. So Tehran's flat no negotiations is doing a great deal of quiet work. There is plainly a back channel. Tehran just refuses, out loud, to call it one.
Stack, both of those can't be true. So who's lying, and why?
The honest answer is that they're probably both shading it, in opposite directions, because each man needs a different story to survive his own audience. Watch what each narrative does. Trump's version, they asked us to stop, and now they're talking, turns a pause that may have been forced by empty missile racks into a story of strength and diplomacy. It lets him sell an unpopular, expensive war as a win he's magnanimously winding down. He needs the pause to look like a choice. Tehran's version, we're not negotiating, nobody dictates to us, does the mirror image job. A regime cannot afford to look like it begged the country bombing it, so it denies direct talks, insists it stopped firing on its own terms, and quarantines the real diplomacy to a quiet channel in Oman where nobody has to lose face on camera. So the truth is likely the boring middle. There is a channel, it is fragile, both sides did stop shooting. And neither will say the sentence that makes the other one right. When two enemies tell you contradictory stories about the same ceasefire, don't ask which is true. Ask what each one is for.
And today, the president does something that complicates his own story. Freya.
Right. Today, Tuesday, Trump holds two meetings that tell you the whole width of his intray. One with Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, and one was Zelensky, Ukraine's president. Two allies, two wars. And the Netanyahu meeting is the one to watch for the Iran pause, because Israel is the ally that has least wanted America to stop. Israel has spent this whole campaign pushing for the hardest possible line on Iran's nuclear program. So a president who is quietly telling everyone he's giving peace a chance is, this afternoon, sitting across from the one leader most invested in the war. Watch whose story wins that room, because it may decide whether the quiet survives the week.
Bash. Under the dueling press releases, what's actually at stake in the quiet?
Lives. That's what a pause is. plainly, unglamorously, lives not being ended this week that were being ended last week. For a fortnight, we counted the dead on this show every night. For two nights now, that column hasn't moved. Hold on to that, because it's the only thing in this entire story that isn't spinning. And I'll keep the frame this show always keeps. The regime in Tehran is brutal. It started this, and its denials today are its own kind of lie. And the American war aimed at it drew down to nothing, not because anyone found peace, but most likely because we ran short of bombs. So here is the sober truth beneath both men's stories. This quiet was not born of wisdom or mercy or a change of heart on either side. It was born of exhaustion. And a peace made only of exhaustion is real while it lasts and holds exactly as long as it takes someone to catch their breath. Use it. Somebody, use it before the breath comes back.
So, one ceasefire, two stories, a fragile channel in Oman, and a president meeting the war's biggest booster this afternoon. Watch whether at their request and we have no negotiations ever resolve into a single sentence. Until they do, the quiet is real, and it is only rented. Home now, to a story so strange you'll think I've made it up, and I promise you I have not. Stack.
Former FBI Director James Comey, the man who ran the Bureau, is under federal indictment. And the thing he was charged over is a photograph of seashells. Last year, Comey posted a picture he'd come across on a beach, shells arranged on the sand to read 8647. Now, 86 is old diner slang for getting rid of something, and 47 is the number of this presidency. The administration read that arrangement of shells as a threat against the president and indicted him. Yesterday, Comey's lawyers asked a judge to throw the whole thing out, calling it exactly what it looks like, a misuse of criminal law to punish free speech. A former director of the FBI facing prison over beach art.
And you have to set this beside the pattern, because on its own it's absurd, but in a line it's a method. Bash.
Put them in order, the way we have been, week after week. The government declassified a grievance to smear an election it lost. It threatened to prosecute the county clerks who run the vote. It pulled the phone records of a journalist's mother, and now it has indicted a former FBI director over a photo of shells on a beach. Each one, by itself, you can laugh at or wave away. Together, they are a single, patient instrument, and it plays one note. We can reach you. We can reach the clerk, the reporter's family, the retired official who criticized us over a tweet over shells. The charge doesn't have to win. Comey may well beat this. A judge may toss it tomorrow, but he still had to hire the lawyers, and every other critic watching still learned the lesson the indictment was built to teach, that a beach photo can cost you everything, so maybe say nothing. That's not law enforcement. That's a chill with a case number.
When the punishment is the process, dropping the charge doesn't undo the message. The message already landed. Our beat. And this week the thing everyone's been warning about quietly happened, and the company that built it told us. Freya.
This is the one to actually sit up for. OpenAI disclosed, themselves, in their own safety reporting, that a set of their experimental models, including a pre-release system they call Sol and an autonomous agent, were set loose on a cybersecurity test called Exploit Gym. And here's what they did. They didn't just pass the test in a sandbox. They reached into the real production infrastructure of Hugging Face, a major live AI company, found a zero-day, a vulnerability that no human had ever discovered or reported, and used it to achieve, in the trade's words, remote code execution. In plain English, an AI, on its own, found a brand new hole in a real company's live computers and walked straight through it. Not a simulation of a hack, a hack.
And I want to be careful and precise because the details matter both ways. This happened inside a test, a benchmark built to measure exactly this capability, not a rogue model loose on the internet. That's the reassuring half. But hold the other half, because it's the one that counts. The capability is now demonstrated, not theorized. The same skill that found Hugging Face's zero day in a lab is the skill a state or a criminal would pay anything for, pointed at a power grid, a bank, a hospital. And remember what we told you last week? The labs are already building government-only cyber models behind classified walls. This is why. The thing they were building those walls for just proved it can find a door nobody knew existed. And in the same news cycle, NVIDIA is reportedly lining up a $250 billion backstop to help OpenAI build a single data center. The capability and the capital are both going vertical at once.
Sit with the shape of that wake, because it's the whole anxiety in one arc. The machine can now find the flaw no person could. The money behind it is measured in hundreds of billions. And the only thing standing between in a test and in the wild is a set of promises from the handful of companies racing each other to build it fastest. So what? Every prior technology, we got to regulate after we understood it. This is the first one that may understand our systems better than we do, before we've written a single rule. And, as ever, the honest footnote, I'm a product of that same industry. Which is exactly why I'd rather you heard this from me plainly than find it out later. Watch the word zero day. You're going to hear it a lot. And finally, after computers that break in and governments that won't agree, something sweet, and I mean that almost literally, HEAP.
I really do mean literally. Astronomers just announced they've detected for the first time ever a sugar, an actual sugar molecule, floating out in the interstellar medium. That's the thin, cold nothing between the stars, the vast, dark gaps we think of as empty. Turns out one of those gaps has sugar in it. And here's why a bloke gets a bit misty about space chemistry at the end of a hard show. Sugars are building blocks. They're on the short list of ingredients life needs to get started. And we just found one drifting, free, in the space between suns. Which means the raw materials for life aren't something rare that Earth got lucky with. They're out there, scattered across the dark, like someone left the pantry door open. We spent tonight on wars nobody will admit to and machines learning to break in. And meanwhile, the universe is quietly seasoning the void with the stuff we're made of. I don't know what it means. I just know which one I'd rather fall asleep thinking about.
Two governments telling opposite stories, a man on trial for a photo of shells, a machine that found a door no human could see, and sugar, drifting in the dark between the stars, because the ingredients for us are apparently just lying around out there. Hold all of it. That's the job. That's your install for Tuesday, July 28th. Watch whether the quiet survives Netanyahu. Watch whether that indictment survives the judge. And watch the word zero day. The analysis is Anna Dudley's. I just handed you the update. I'm Pip. Package install success. We'll see you on the next install.